morning our scripture reading is on page 688 in your pew Bibles. This is Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 and 5 through 14. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey, or extra tunic, or sandals, or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town.
Let us pray together. Precious Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the Word of God. And now as we open it, Father, we pray that you would open up our hearts and minds and that we would do our very best to give it our full attention. Lord, the things that are on our minds, Lord, the things that we could easily be distracted with and by, we pray that at least for this moment, we would be receptive to your Spirit and to the Scripture. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. On the back of your bulletin, you will see more sermon notes. This is the fifth and final habit that we will be giving attention to. The first four we should be familiar with at this point, and they were, we bless people both inside and outside the church. We eat together, sharing meals with believers and non-believers alike. And we've went over that, I think two or three Sundays ago, sort of jumped in there and learned what that was all about. And then last week, we looked at two other habits. The first two habits were external. The next two habits were going to be something that happens internally, and they are that we listen to the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit, and that we intimately learn Christ as our leader and model for making disciples. So this week, we're going to learn the final habit, and that is we see ourselves as sent by God to everywhere and everyone God sends us. So the key word there is sent. We are sent people. That is our final habit. If we look back at our Bibles in Matthew chapter 10, we see in verse 5, the Bible says, these 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them. The first thing that you and I need to take note of is just the fact that he sent them out. Now, you're probably thinking, what does that mean? It's so simple, but I don't want us to lose the importance of this. Jesus sends people out. He chooses to use human beings to accomplish his task. He works through people. He chose the 12. At other times, he sent the 70. And he sends them preaching and teaching. These were human beings, not robots. And he sent them out, not emphasizing programs. He wanted them to spend quality time with people in cities, in towns, in neighborhoods, and then influence them and impact them. I don't want us to ever lose fact of how important this is, because human beings have the tendency to just think it's everyone else's job. It's either the preacher's job or the elder's job, or I know that one person at church and they just love to do this kind of thing. But Jesus sent the 12 out. Now, as they were going out, the responsibility and burden was on their shoulders. They were sent. They had a mission to accomplish. And you and I have that same mission today. I read a poem years ago that I just ran across recently again, and it reminded me of how some of us can come across this whole attitude of not being sent. And it goes like this. There's a story about four people named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. Now, there was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. And anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. And everybody thought that anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. And it ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. Everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. And a lot of times that becomes our lifestyle. We just look for everyone else to do it. We hear the sermon, and we don't think about ourselves. We just think of the people sort of sitting around us. It's important to start with ourselves. I remember back in Geneva College, I was doing some leadership studies there, and one of the greatest principles that was always hammered into us is everything starts with you. And one of the greatest quotes that I learned then and believe to this day is this: before you can do, you have to be. Before you can do, you have to be. In other words, a lot of us just think about doing a bunch of things, but a leader starts with themselves. They have to be the actual person. They have to live that life. And when Jesus is sending these disciples, he's saying, before you go out and do a bunch of things, you have to be my disciples. You have to understand what it means to be a disciple. You have to be the man or the woman that takes the mantle, takes charge, takes responsibility, and lives for Jesus. It reminds me of the gospel passage in John when he first calls his disciples. They were wanting to see if he was the Messiah. And he doesn't bring them to a classroom. Jesus says this in John chapter 1, come and see. He invites them into his life. If you want to see if he's the Messiah, he says, come and see. Now, as they lived and witnessed Jesus' life, it became apparent, this is the Messiah. That's our same call today, because you and I are people that are sent. And so as we bless people, as we eat with people, we're inviting people into our lives, saying, come and see. Now, I know there's a group of people here that are probably wanting to do that, but feel uncomfortable or awkward, because we probably are thinking, well, if I invite people into my life, they're going to see the giant mess that's behind closed doors. And it could be literally like a literal mess, or it could be just your life's in shambles. And you know what I say to that? It's okay. It's okay. Because their life is a mess too. So you invite people in into the brokenness of your life. And what you do is you let Jesus shine through that brokenness. That is a powerful ministry. It's through your brokenness you can allow Jesus to shine. This is how I'm getting through this. If it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't be able to handle this. You just lift up Jesus in those cracks, and you invite people in. And you will see and watch how powerful that is. But we have to remember that he sends people out. Average, ordinary human beings, that's who God sends. It started with the disciples, and it continues to this day. Our lives are our mission field. But as we search further in the scripture, we go back to verse 5, and we learn this. We see that there were 12 that Jesus sent out. But notice the Bible adds this, after instruction, after instructing them. You see, he sends people, but he sends people after they are trained. After they are trained. He was busy teaching them. And as they were around him, they were learning new habits, thinking new thoughts, seeing life in a whole different way. And then he sent them out. Why did he do that? Well, the standard definition of a disciple is as follows. It is someone who adheres to the teaching of another. It is a follower or a learner. And it refers to someone who takes up the ways of someone else. Now, wasn't that interesting? He had to teach them first. Why? Because a disciple is a vessel. It's an empty vessel. It should be an empty vessel. So as he was with his disciples, he was busy teaching them so that when they went out, they weren't teaching their own information. They were teaching the master's information. They weren't modeling from their own life. They were mimicking the master's life. So before they were sent, he taught them. He modeled for them. And that is the same call that you and I have to this day. We are called to be disciples. People should take note that we have been around Jesus. Now, we see this all throughout the scripture. And one place I'll highlight that is in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 4, we have Peter and John in custody. They're in trouble for teaching and preaching in the name of Jesus. So the Bible teaches this. And it came about on the next day that the rulers and the elders and the scribes were gathering together in Jerusalem, and the high priest was there, and all of the leaders. And when they had placed them in the center, they began to inquire, "But what power, or by what name are you doing these things?" Asking the disciples these questions. Then Peter, filled with the Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for the benefit done to the sick man, as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, this man lives in good health." Now, after they sent them away, they had to decide what they were going to do with these men. And the Bible tells us that they came back together. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, we read these words. "Now, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were marveling and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus." It's amazing. They recognized something in them. They thought they were untrained. That was in their own eyes. And uneducated in their own eyes. Perhaps they were thinking, well, they didn't go to the Harvard of schools. But here's what they did notice. They've been around that Jesus guy quite a bit. It stood out to them. Why did that stand out to them? Because Jesus invited them into his life for 3 years of ministry. And they were acting, walking, thinking, and talking just like Jesus. It was an undeniable mark in their lives. Something stood out in their life, and everybody around them knew it. And that's what being a disciple is all about. Now, as you and I go out into the world, we are called to have both an attractional lifestyle and a missional lifestyle. An attractional lifestyle and a missional lifestyle. So what does that mean? Let's first think about the attractional lifestyle, the attractional person. So in the Bible, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, Peter writes these words, "Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you." So I want us to think about that for a second, because all through church, and even this morning, I said we're sent people. So when I think of a person that's sent, I think of someone going up to people and using our words and being aggressive and saying, "Jesus, gospel, come to church." They're on the offensive. But Peter says that you're going to live a life that's going to be intriguing to other people. He says, always be ready to make a defense to everyone that asks you for the hope that you have. That means that you should be living a way that's attractional to others. There should be something different about your life that people take note and then eventually say, hold on a second. I just have to ask, even though you're real weird, let me ask you, why do you pray before you eat? They're asking you because they're noticing something in your life. So a few weeks ago, I had one of my very dear friends come up. He lives in Pittsburgh. He's from the Congo. And I met him in the MSOL program at Geneva. We hit it off, great friends. And his name is Benoit. And so we were at dinner. And before we ate, we said grace. And the waitress actually took note of it. She said, it's really neat to see that happen. I don't ever see that, and especially too young, or I don't know if I'm young anymore, or whatever I am, I don't know, a young, old, in the middle, confused stage of life, you know, praying like that. She said, I don't see that anymore. But it was something, just like Peter said, that was odd to her, and she asked about it. That's exactly how we should live. You know, not that you're so odd that people think there's something wrong with you. But in your life, there should be something attractional about the way you live, that your neighbors or your community or your workers or somebody just take notes and then will come up and ask you, can you tell me a little bit about why you do this? Peter says that should happen. And then he says, when that happens, he says, answer with gentleness and reverence. Gentleness and reverence. What beautiful words to think about. Gentleness and reverence. Answer in a way that's also attractional. Answer in a way that's beautiful, that'll minister to them. Now, there's the attractional person, but then on the other side of that seesaw, there's the missional person. Now, this is the time when you are out there and you are evangelizing and you are definitely out there sharing the gospel. The actual word church, ekklesia, if you go back and study that in the Greek, all it means is called out. Called out. The called out ones. So think about it. We're here in church right now, and we're the called out ones. Well, we're called out from what? Well, first of all, we're defined by our faith in Christ. We're Christians. And then we're called out from the world. There should be something different about us. However, as missional people, we have an incredible message to share with others, and that is the gospel. So the error would be to completely recluse from the world, to completely get so caught up in church that we forget the other 6 days of the world we are living outside, and we're called to be the church there. We're called to have a missional life. So one of the things I find interesting is this, and I'm gonna draw it on the board here if you don't mind. I like to do that just because this is I think very important to understand. Because the missional person, I hope you all can see, the missional person and the attractional person, if you're not careful, could actually hurt your church if you're all one or all the other. And let me illustrate that for you, if I may. So you have this church, and we'll call this the attractional church, the A there, and there's a cross. It's not a plus sign. And if the church is full of attractional people, they want to do great things in the church. So what they'll do is they'll put on great events. Let's say they'll host, you know, dinners. There's a fork, and there's your plate. They'll have music. I don't know. What is that? That's a music symbol. And so they'll host all kind of neat music evenings and try to get people to come to the church. They'll have food, and people will come to the church. And so through those kind of things, they may even have a special speaker. There's a pulpit. And so they will then ask, okay, how can these things that we put on bring people back to our church? So they promote them. They put signs out in front of the church. They put billboards out. They're on Facebook. And so they're inviting people into the church, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if that's all you do, you tend to just focus solely on your church. Now, on the other side of that, here's this other church, okay, and there's another cross. And this church is going to be the missional church. Now, this church says to themselves, wait a second, I'm only in church for 1 hour. 1 hour. But I am in my community all the time. I'm in the place where I go to work, all of my hobbies. And so what this church says to themselves is, wait a second, we're missing the boat. If all we're doing is inviting people to church all the time, what about the other 6 days of the week? So this church and this group of people start, instead of bringing people to church, they just start living missional lives outside of the church. They start praying with people, volunteering at the City Rescue Mission, etc. And so the point is this. The Bible emphasizes both. The Bible emphasizes both. You can't be one or the other. Because what will happen is if you're only the attractional church, you'll be consumed solely by your church. And if you're a missional person, you'll forget about your church. You'll think about life only outside of the building. So you need to balance both. And the Bible teaches that that's the kind of missional person that we should be. We should live an attractional life plus a missional life. And that is what a powerful biblical message is. And that is exactly what Jesus is doing here. He wants the disciples to have a missional lifestyle, to be out there in the community, but he also wants them to have an attractional lifestyle that people take note. Now, the last thing here that we could pick up is that Jesus was a realist. Jesus was a realist. Look at verses 12 and 13. And as you enter the house, give it your greeting. And if the house is worthy, let your greeting of peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your greeting of peace return to you. What is Jesus saying? He's saying you're going to get a mixed bag of responses when you go out. Not everyone is going to take note of your life. They may take note, but they may not respond appropriately. They may not be impressed. They may reject you. Or some people may think, this is the greatest thing in the world. Tell me more. Jesus already prepares you and I for this response. It happened with him, and it happened with his disciples. So don't be shocked if as you're blessing people or if you're eating with people and it falls on deaf ears. You're not going to change every person you ever meet. And Jesus is already getting them ready for that as they go out. He says, look, bless people, smile at people, talk about me, share, but not everyone's going to receive it because Jesus was a realist. So what's our job? Our job is to be creative and to keep trying, to not stay stagnant. A lot of you know the really funny comedian Will Ferrell, and he did something quite serious this past week. He gave an incredible commencement speech. And I have some of the words here. And he addressed the young people by saying this. He said, I knew I wanted to be a comedic actor. So he said, starting in the fall of 1991, for the next 3.5 years, I was taking classes and performing in various shows all around campus. And he would go on a joke and say he would invite all of his family and friends, and pretty much for the first few years, that's kind of all who would show up. And then he would say this. You see, I was just trying to throw as many darts at the board, hoping that one day one of them would eventually stick. And he would repeat that phrase, and he would end with that phrase. I always just wanted to keep throwing darts at the dartboard. And that's our job as the church. We're sent. We're disciples. And we're going to get a mixed bag of emotions and reactions. But it doesn't mean that you and I are to give up. It means that we're to continue to move forward. And no matter what adversity comes our way, we have the greatest message this world has ever known. In fact, if you look at the front of your bulletin, you will see a statue there. and you will see that there are no hands on that statue. And there's a story behind that statue. The story is told that during the bombing of a city in World War II, a large statue of Jesus was severely damaged. And when the townspeople found the statue in the rubble, they mourned because it was a beloved symbol for them. Now, experts were able to repair that statue. But as they were going to put the hands and the feet on the statue, the people in the church stopped them. And they said, leave the hands and feet off. Because that is a reminder that we are the hands and feet of Jesus. Friends, we talked about this morning what it means to be sent, and it's up to us. We talked about what it means to be a disciple and follower of Jesus, and we know that we're going to get a mixed bag of reactions. But we can't leave here and forget that it's up to us. We are the hands, we are the feet, and He depends on you and I to accomplish His mission. And I believe as we work together in enthusiasm, and as the new members work together, we will accomplish that purpose, because His kingdom will not end. And we are the hands and feet. Now, friends, let's think about that as we pray. Oh, Lord, we're grateful for this opportunity that we have. We thank You, Jesus, that we are Your hands and feet. Give us courage, Lord, to step out of our comfort zone. Help us to live in a way as Your disciples today, here, and now. And we ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, as we conclude, let us sing together hymn number 724, Lead On, O King Eternal.